What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Welcome back to the Hockman, Crowder, and Solana show. Excited to have Wes Goldberg on. He joins us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Appel's very jealous of Wes's lettuce.
It's the first thing I said to him. It's our first time meeting.
Unbelievable set of lettuce from Wes. He covers the Miami Heat for the Locked On Heat podcast. I always recommend following the work that Wes and his co-host David Ramil do on Locked On Heat all year long, especially during the season, but really all year long. Wes also is a host on Real GM Radio, covers the NBA. Wes, I'm just going to throw this out there because it appears to be the topic of the day in Heatland. We take a quick detour from Dolphins to the Miami Heat. Apparently, Ethan Skolnick from Five Reasons Sports reported that the Heat are looking to trade Terry Rozier like any way possible, but it's not necessarily a secret, is it? Like, that the Heat are trying to move Terry Rozier, it's not going to happen, is it? Like, do you realistically see a team just saying, all right, fine, we'll take Terry from you?
No, not right now. And, nothing against what Ethan reported there, but it is a little bit of like that they've been trying to do it. Now, it isn't by, just to clarify, and I didn't necessarily read exactly what Ethan wrote or listen to like the word for word what he said, but just to clarify some things on that in case there's any confusion, it isn't by any means possible, because by any means possible would mean that they would attach an asset to Terry Rozier.
Right.
And they have had opportunities this summer to attach an asset to Terry Rozier to get off of him and haven't done it. So they're not going to do that because Terry's contract comes off the books after this season. So to attach another asset to a guy who you used a first round pick to acquire in the first place, which now looks like a bad trade in hindsight, they're just not going to sink more money into this thing, basically, right? Like this is done. So if the worst thing is that Terry Rozier just is out of the lineup and then comes off your books next summer, okay. Like you can still walk away clean with all the cap space that you need. They don't want to attach any other assets to get off of Terry Rozier because that's going to take a lot more than that sort of that second round pick that they needed to get off of Haywood Highsmith.
Right.
It's going to take a lot more than that to attach to Rozier's $26 million going out.
I wanted to talk about that, obviously. I did just want to specify, I'm not criticizing Ethan Skolnick for that report.
Yeah, I know.
And the quote was, they're willing to trade Terry Rozier for, quote, just about anything.
Right.
I think Ethan, you know, he has his sources. He's usually right about this type of stuff. I just think it's funny that it became the topic of the day because, like, Ethan probably was just – I didn't hear it either, but he was probably just having a conversation on their pod, and, like, it became news because it's Terry Rozier. He's such a punching bag right now. That shouldn't be, like, a trending topic that Miami is looking to move on from a guy – who probably had the worst season in a Heat jersey last year in a very, very long time and was under in federal investigation for gambling. Like it shouldn't be a massive surprise to anybody that Miami would be willing to move on from him.
It would have been really surprising if it was like the Heat are trying to move on from Bam Adebayo by any means. They'd trade him. I'm like, oh, wow, now that's surprising. That's news now. It's like, okay, yeah, we know that they – aren't exactly thrilled with Terry Rozier. And by the way, like after re-signing Drew Smith, this is even more prevalent here because where does Terry Rozier even get minutes, right? He can maybe earn something in training camp and in preseason or whatever, but I do think it's an open question to figure out where Rozier stands. Now, one thing that we talked about on Locked On Heat yesterday was, could you just waive Terry Rozier? Because his contract is mostly guaranteed. All but $1.7 million of it. If they were to waive Terry, they would actually create enough space under the luxury tax, which they just got under by trading Haywood Highsmith, even after re-signing Drew Smith. They would create enough money under the tax to sign another player and still remain under the tax. It'd be about $3.5 million, which is enough for a veteran minimum. Now, right now, they would have to wait until mid-season to sign a minimum player to a prorated contract if they wanted to add another player. So That's a conversation that we're having also is, hey, do you just waive Terry Rozier? But I also think that there is some value in keeping Terry Rozier, as much as Heat fans might not want to hear it, because, again, that contract is expiring. And by the trade deadline in January, February, when maybe there's a superstar who decides, you know what, I don't want to be where I'm at right now, the Heat could potentially use Rozier's $27 million contract as a ladder to get up to matching salary.
Right.
And for any team that's then trading away a superstar, then Rozier's contract becomes a lot more enticing because you only have to deal with it for 2 months and then it comes off your books and you walk away and you start your rebuild.
Wes, I'm curious. You know, there was so much turbulence with the Heat last year just through the Jimmy Butler saga, and there's no doubt that that affected the team's performance over the course of the season. You know, they finished 8 games under .500 back in the play-in round. And I know this is a generic question, but now that they move past that and it's almost like a clean slate that they get to start next season with, where should the expectations be for this team?
So Vegas has it pinned at 38.5 wins.
That's crazy, man.
I think it's a gross underestimization.
That's crazy.
Is that a word? Underestimization?
It sounds good to me. That works on this show. That works on this show, man.
That's great. Keep making up words. I think maybe the losing, not necessarily getting rid of Jimmy Butler, but getting rid of the Jimmy Butler situation might be the most underrated addition or subtraction in the NBA all offseason, right? Because even after they did the trade in February, they were still just reeling from all of that drama. And I don't even think the Heat really fully understood how traumatic, and traumatic being used in sports terms, but how traumatic that whole experience was for that locker room and everything. And as reporters and stuff, we could see it. We could see it taking its toll in the locker room while it was happening from December on to him actually getting traded. Like, you could feel it in that locker room. But even us and even the players couldn't really understand and comprehend just how traumatic that event was. That team just needed, like, therapy. That team needed to touch grass after the end of the season. They needed to get away. Bam needed to go to Greece. You know, all these people, everybody had to get away and do their things that they needed to do in order to just come back a little bit more refreshed and put all of that fully behind them. Because even in the moment when it was happening, they're still being asked about it. What it's like without Jimmy Butler now, all these things. They're still trying to figure out what is the post-Jimmy Butler team. We're trying to build this plane in the middle of the air now. I think it's a huge factor in what's going to happen for the Heat this season. It's really the first time we'll see what this looks like post-Jimmy.
I'm with you 100%. I think it was outside of Miami, but even here with some of the fans, it was downplayed a little bit, like how much of a distraction that really was. Still no excuse blowing 20-point leads to Charlotte in that 10-game losing streak. Like I still won't forgive that team for that. But
no, it's like when you need therapy, right? You just start lashing out on people around you. You're like, whoa, where did that come from? Why are you screaming about me? Guy dropped a plate or something. It's just like, that's what happens. It's like, wait, where did that come from? You just blew 20 points to Charlotte. Like, why did you do that? And they're like, well, I'm sad. That's why. That's why it happened.
Those fourth quarters, Wes, like, just looking back to Chicago and then Charlotte, I think, back-to-back games, they're just mind-numbingly miserable. Like, those fourth quarters, watching them blow those leads, mind-numbingly miserable. Before I let you go, though, because we could talk about last season ad nauseum, what were your biggest takeaways from the Haywood-Highsmith trade and then signing Drew Smith? I know there's a lot of Heat fans who are kind of frustrated, not so much that they traded H, but the timing of it all and attaching a second-round pick as well, and then signing Drew Smith later on. There's like a faction of Heat Nation that kind of just feels like this is somebody that only Eric Spoelstra feels has upside and nobody else does. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I understand the injury history complicates things, but what were your biggest takeaways from these two recent moves?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
There's so much to get into. Like, there's so much meat on this bone here, but just to keep it top level, I suppose it's, you know, I understand it from the Heat's perspective. Their priority was to get under the luxury tax. And there are actual team building ramifications to that. You guys know this, but if people are wondering, why should I care about Mickey Arison's money, right? You hear that from fans all the time. It's, well, you shouldn't, number one. And number two, you know, this actually has team building ramifications. Had they had to be, if they were in the luxury tax again this year, they would have triggered a repeater tax, which would have just had a bunch of team building constraints. You can guys, you go look up the new CBA and you can kind of figure out all that boring stuff. But it was important from a team building perspective to avoid the tax this season. So they do that and they reset the clock on the repeater tax. That is a hugely important thing, right? And we're seeing that across the NBA, teams just trading away good players. And this was the first instance in a very long time that Miami got worse in order to reduce payroll. That's not something the Heat usually do, but you're seeing it across the league now because of this new CBA. Boston is reducing payroll. Go look at teams. Like, they are all taking step backs, doing the calculus. Hey, is this enough of a step back that it's worth the money that we're going to save? Or are we going to take too much of a step back just to save this amount of money? That's a new thing that front offices have to deal with. And so that's what Miami decided. They said, okay, we can either have Haywood Highsmith and be over the luxury tax, or and keep the second round pick, or we can get rid of Haywood Highsmith, get rid of the second round pick, get under the luxury tax, and then bring in Drew Smith. And those were the two things that they had as options. They had to get under the tax. Brooklyn was putting pressure on them in order to make that trade because they're the only team with cap space. Miami took no salary back in that Haywood deal. So, you know, that cap space is leverage that Brooklyn had. No other team hasn't $5.5 million in order to just absorb Haywood Highsmith and help Miami out and create the space necessary to fill out the rest of their roster. Drew Smith or otherwise, had they traded Haywood Highsmith, they would only have 13 players on a contract. They would have had to add another player. So, you know, Brooklyn had all the leverage in that situation. Let's also remember, Haywood just tore his MCL. So you're like, oh, you re-signed Drew Smith, who was on a torn MCL, well, or a torn Achilles. Haywood was coming off of an injury too. So, Miami basically had no leverage. They saw an out, and they jumped in it. They jumped to it. And anybody who had a people who criticized Miami for making that move and trading Haywood Highsmith, understanding that the priority was to get under the luxury tax, I have yet to hear another realistic way for Miami to avoid the luxury tax. And all it costs them, and I hate saying this because I love Haywood Highsmith and he was a very important player on this team, but it costs you not a fringe rotation guy, but not necessarily a star player on your team, and a second round pick, and you were able to avoid the tax, and you were able to bring back Drew Smith. Net, it's not a terrible piece of business for Miami, and they still have now flexibility to do some other things.
I don't think I've ever seen Solana more sullen than when the trade for H was announced last week. It was a really tough time for him. So,
well, Duncan,
at least now he's
got Duncan's gone, Struce is gone, Gabe Vincent's gone, Haywood Highsmith is gone.
Caleb.
I think Caleb's gone. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, from the 2023 Eastern Conference champion team that went to the NBA Finals, the only three players still here are Nikola Jovic, Tyler Hero, and Bam Adebayo. Do I have that? Maybe I'm missing somebody. Was Drew Smith on that team? Like, that's it. That's crazy. Yep.
You lost all of those players for essentially nothing, right? You weren't able to get anything from Duncan. I think you got a second round pick from Cleveland in the Max Drew sign and trade. That's it for all of those guys. Now, you know, I've argued that the Heat should have explored trading Caleb Martin before his free agency, and you should have explored doing a few of these other things. Now, Strus and Gabe Vincent were a little bit different because they kind of popped and then they were free agents, you know, and so that was a little bit of a tougher move there. But it's a tough look for a Heat team that kind of created these players out of nothing and turned them into assets and then lost all of them for nothing. On the same side, it's not as if Miami was unable to trade those guys before the trade deadlines or whatever it is, but they decided at the time, I remember even reporting on this at the time, they decided, you know what, instead of trading, for instance, Caleb Martin in February, we'd rather just ride this thing out and see what happens.
Right.
And you could debate that was, you know, a mistake, and it looks like a mistake in hindsight because they got swept by the Celtics or whatever, five-game series against the Celtics later that year. But they always decided, you know what, we're gonna chase that chance at another playoff run like 2023. And if Miami's at fault for anything, if this front office is at fault for anything, I think during the Jimmy Butler era, is thinking that 2023 playoff run was more representative of the group than the 500-ish seasons
right.
that were most of that experience.
I will say
it was
though,
like a different version of that 30-11, 11-30 season.
Right. Except exactly. you ended up in the NBA Finals. I will say though, right. Wes, Jimmy Butler doesn't get taken out by Kelly Oubre that following season. Who knows? It's just funny how fans, and I get it, man. Like, you play the result, it's what we do. Hey, you're the front office, we play the result. Like, that's just the way this industry works, whether it's right or wrong. But it's funny how we speak in like these blanket ultimatums. We're like, well, that team sucked. They lost in five. Not you. I'm just saying in general. Yeah, the fan base. That team sucked. They lost in five. They should have known. They should have traded Caleb Martin. And it's like, if Kelly Oubre doesn't take out Jimmy Butler, do you really think that the Miami Heat lose that game to Philly? Because I don't. I think they win that game. And then they play the Knicks in the first round. Who knows, right? Like, who knows? There could be another Eastern Conference Finals matchup between Miami and Boston after that season as well. Again, it like
the other side of that too. I mean, you trade Caleb Martin in the middle of that season. You're like, what? So you're just giving up on this season? Look what we just did in 2023. So again, it's easy to your point to just sit here and be like, you got nothing for all these guys. But when you take each instance in its own sort of individual case, then it's like, okay, well, that actually does make a little bit of sense. And you know, they traded Duncan Robinson, they signed and traded him. They did get Simone Fontecchio, so it's not as if they got nothing back for him. We can see what Fontecchio ends up being, but you know, each individual case is its own thing. And at the end of the day, those players meant a lot for the Heat. They developed them. They established themselves as the number one development program in the league. And you still hear, even in Vegas, man, like this summer, why did you join Miami? Why did you decide to be on the Heat and do your summer league with the Heat? They said, look at what they've done with all these other guys. That experience of developing those guys still paying dividends for this team in terms of getting some of the top undrafted players.
Wes Goldberg, I really tell everybody every time he comes on to subscribe to the Locked On Heat podcast, YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. And again, listen to Wes on Real GM Radio as well. I appreciate you. And I'm sure we'll talk more as the season approaches. We're a month away, man. It's crazy, but we're like a month and a half away.
It's crazy. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Wes Goldberg from Locked On Heat.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.